Hello, and welcome to Confessions of a Serial Wife. So I wasn't going to do an episode today, but I have a little bit of time this morning. And I've got an ongoing problem that I thought I would bring up. So I live in a decent neighborhood. It's not an uppity neighborhood. It's definitely not a low-class neighborhood. It's just a nice, decent, middle-of-the-road neighborhood. Normal. It's in a fairly decent part of town. And I have pretty good neighbors, I've thought. I've had various issues with, you know, certain ones, like the ones down the street that tormented my son, but they moved. My immediate next door neighbors, I guess, were friends or distant relatives of theirs, and their family is from the little mountain town where I'm from. So there's kind of a weird distant connection there. They are kind of backwoods, I might describe them. They've shared stories of when one of their kids fell, and their kids are my age. Well, their oldest is my age. Then they stagger down from there, and they have, I think they have three kids, two boys and a girl. But they've shared stories where, you know, when the kids were small, the one boy did something, I don't remember, but ripped his back all the way from his butt all the way up to his shoulder blade. And they laugh as they talk about how he should have had stitches, but they just wrapped him up with duct tape and it healed and he was fine. They've also shared stories of having leftover meds from the dogs and having something happen to the kids, and so they've given the kids the dog meds. So they're a little backwoods, because I would not attempt that. I don't know many people that would. And we've had weird issues. She gets a little testy sometimes. She had a friend staying there with a great big pickup, and he had a great big trailer because he worked out of this pickup, and so he had a great big trailer. And she wanted him to be able to park that in front of my house, and I didn't want him to because it would block my mailbox, it would block my view. And when I say park it in front of my house, I mean while he's staying there, so it would be a constant thing. And so I said no. Well, it made her really mad, so she didn't talk to me for a long time. When I would go outside, she would go inside. It was just horrible. So it was so stupid. But you know, she gets over it and we're fine again. She has her grandkids living there from her oldest son, the guy that's roughly my age. I think he might be just younger than I am. And the reason for that is because he got into drugs really bad and went to prison. He went to prison because he, well, got into drugs really bad and got in trouble several times. So he's like a repeat offender. One of the last times he was on some special program where he was on probation and he could follow the rules and have check-ins and drug tests and everything for a certain amount of time, at like a year and a half or something. And then he would be free again. He wouldn't have to check in or do anything. And he made it about halfway, if memory serves, and he fucked up again. So they sent him to prison then because he could not control himself. And I think that he does other things along with the drugs, and so he gets in trouble, and then the drugs are blamed. So anyway, so he went to prison the last time, and not jail. So he's been in jail before tons of times. I think this is the only time he was in prison, and he was in prison for several years. He got out, I'm not sure when, but we started noticing him hang around. Well, let's see. We probably noticed him the first time last summer, and we commented, you know, that he must be out and, you know, whatever. We being my husband and I. And no big deal. I mean, he looks really bizarre now. He's huge, like not fat, but very muscular, very big, very dark, very hairy, very weird. Like before, he looked like just a normal guy. And now he looks like a convict. So we've noticed him around more often, probably the last couple months. And we've had a few things that have been happening around the house. We have a camper, and so the first thing that we noticed was the gauge on the camper propane tank was missing. And this was right after he was here. And so, of course, you automatically think it's him. This is a neighborhood that's not known for crime or theft or anything. So it's not a common thing. So we kind of wrote it off. We bought another one. It's like a $12 little deal. So, you know, it's irritating. It kind of freaks me out to think somebody's messing with my camper. But, you know, it wasn't a big deal. So we bought another one. We didn't put it out there again, but we bought another one. So it's replaced. So everything was fine. My husband has been keeping an eye on the camper, though, and realized that a few weeks ago, this would have been a couple weeks after the gauge was gone, that the hoses to the propane tank was unhooked. It was off. The hose was off and just sitting there. And so that freaks me out even more, because when we go to use the camper, what else has been done to it, and what exactly was the purpose of this? And, you know, I mean, why would somebody do that? So my husband hooks him back up. And of course, I don't have cameras or anything. You just don't need them in this neighborhood. I figured that was it. I figured he was just fucking with us, you know. And so I've made arrangements to park the camper back behind our gate, so it's in our backyard. And in order to do that, we have to, you know, kind of redo our driveway to get back there so that we can fit the trailer back there. So we move the trailer into our regular driveway, our regular garage driveway. So it's in front of the garage right now. And, you know, everything's hooked back up. My husband's paranoid. He's fixed, you know, he's checked everything. He's made sure, you know, whatever. So yesterday morning he goes out, and it would have been Saturday when we put it in the driveway. So yesterday morning, he goes out and realizes that our full propane tank that was ready to get us going this year for camping has been swapped out with an empty one. They took the full one away. They hooked up the hoses to the empty one so that it looked like everything was normal. The one thing that wasn't hooked up, though, was our tanks are bolted on with these great big bolts, and the tank that was swapped out wasn't bolted on. The bolt was sitting on the lip of the metal. So in other words, if we would have moved the trailer at all, we would have lost that bolt. It wouldn't have been sitting there. So there's no way that we pulled it from a different driveway into our driveway by the garage. I mean, there's just no way that we did that and not lost that and not lose that bolt. So it had to have been done since we moved it into the driveway. So he's now coming into the driveway of the house by the garage because I'm still thinking it's him. The other reason I think it's him is because since he's been coming around recently, he has an old shitty pickup, which, great, hallelujah, they're usually the best ones. But on the back of this old shitty pickup is an old shitty trailer. Not a trailer. A camper shell. So I'm thinking that he is living in this camper shell on the back of this pickup, and it probably has some kind of cooking something or a heater or something, and it probably has a propane tank. So I'm thinking he took the gauge and the full propane tank and left us with the very empty propane tank because of that. Because even though it costs, I don't know, $10, $15 something to fill up a propane tank, to somebody that's fresh out of prison and probably not working, that's a lot of money. That's a meal. That's, you know, so I'm sure he's just in survival mode and fuck it mode. We also noticed that he is apparently living in this camper shell in front of his parents' house now because it's been parked on the road for the last couple days in front of their house. So that's always fun. I think I'm going to pause the story there and throw in a quick ad thing. I'll be right back. Stay with me. All right, thanks for hanging around. So, I've been researching security cameras because of this whole dilemma, because now I'm feeling like when we go camping, the house must look like fair game. If that's what he's into, that's, you know, the natural progression, because everything progresses. So if he's stealing little things out in the open, what's the next thing? He is going to graduate to something bigger, and we're an easy target because we're right here and he's right there. And I don't think his parents would say anything to him. So I've been researching cameras. I purchased one just to test it out. So I'll have to update you once I know more on it. We've looked at Wyze cameras. W-Y-S-E. We've looked at Ring cameras. I opted for a Ring just because it seemed to be the easiest to set up and try out, because I'm not even sure Wi-Fi is going to reach where we need the camera. I'm not even sure how a power supply is going to work. So there's all kinds of factors to work into the scenario. So I ordered one. I figured it would be easy to return. And if it didn't work out. So that's what we're trying. If you have recommendations, feel free to submit them, because I'm going to probably need 3 cameras, and I need them to be able to watch the driveway where, you know, that's in front of the garage, and I need them to watch the side of the house that has no lights and no cameras, no outlets, no nothing over there. I'm thinking about putting a motion light out there too on the side of the house, just because it's a very dark area, and now it's going to have a camper there. And technically, if he jumped the fence from his side of the house, I mean, that's a fair game spot, right? That's, you know, it. The lighting or camera would be on the house, presumably, facing the trailer. And he would be on the fence on the other side of the trailer, by the door of the trailer. So really, he could still fuck with everything and still be out of eyesight. So I'm not entirely sure how this whole thing is going to work. I do have a tree out there I could attach something to, I suppose. I've thought about putting some kind of solar thing on the fence, maybe down a little bit lower so he wouldn't be able to reach over and jerk it off, you know. But I'm not entirely sure we'd get enough light to be solar, since, you know, that is, the fence would shade it. So I'm not entirely sure how this whole thing is going to pan out. I brought that up because, well, that's what I'm dealing with right now, and I'm really looking for camera recommendations. But it kind of brings up a whole new topic, realm of topics, and that is kind of the whole mentality behind that. So I've told you about my son's biological thing and his run-ins. He was always in jail. Same with the uncle. Always in jail. I've looked him up online and found a picture, and he looks just so incredibly old. I mean, just his hair is white. His great big beard is white. He just looks horrible. And I think that all stemmed from drugs and from the whole mentality of how he was raised. The alcoholism, you know, his brother killing himself, his dad being a horn dog. You know, there's just so much there that kind of balls into that type of mentality. And what kind of breeds that type of person that ends up in jail and prison and all of that stuff. Right now, he's convicted of sex with an underage girl under the age of 14, I think. So he's like a registered sex offender. He can't have contact with kids. He's a convicted drug person, you know. There's probably some other things. And it's kind of that whole mentality. It's just kind of a scary thing to get into. So my daughter, I explained already, has had her trials with marijuana and different things. She tells the story that she started it at, you know, a young age. I think it started when Grandpa passed, because I think she was really struggling, and I don't think anybody realized how much she was struggling. So when her brain was cooking, was growing, she was introducing this factor to it that changed some of the chemicals, and she was using it long term and often. So it changed some of how she deals with things. So when she gets stressed out or angry or whatever, she masks that with marijuana use. And so she never learned how to cope with that stuff. Not only she never learned how to cope with that stuff, but her brain never had to cope with that stuff because it was always sedated when that stuff would happen. So she has, and that's my theory, that is not medical by any means, that is just me looking at the situation. So she has anxiety issues, and they've gotten worse, and here lately she's had really bad anxiety issues that have caused her to actually medicate through a physician. And people have those things. You know, I think people have imbalanced physiology inside of their brains, which causes them to need certain things to compensate. But having watched my daughter, I almost feel like the drugs could cause that. So my first boyfriend, husband, if you recall those stories from my previous episodes, he was also an avid pot smoker, and he did it with his mom at an early age, probably earlier than my daughter. And he's the same way. So it's like this vicious thing where your brain learns to lean on that item of compensation, and instead of dealing with the pain and, you know, stressors and all of that, instead of learning how to deal with that and cope with that, you give it some happy thing like pot, or in some cases it's booze, and then you never learn how to deal with those things. And I think that when you're doing that at such a young age, when your brain is still forming and growing, I think that it changes how your brain grows and maybe causes some of these issues that now you need. If you don't have that mechanism, you actually need some other sort of mechanism, like pharmaceuticals from a doctor. My husband works with a gal, and he is really good friends with her ex-boyfriend, and apparently she is a very heavy pot smoker. And the biggest thing that the ex-boyfriend says is that when she gets overwhelmed or stressed out, she smokes. So she's smoking all the time. And apparently she is a ball of nerves. She's just anxiety-ridden all over the place. She can't deal or cope or manage anything because she has to have her mechanism, which is pot. She has to have that all of the time to try to compensate. So again, I have no idea if this is actual. I don't know if this is in a study somewhere. I'm not even sure how I would research that. But I want to put this out there because I really feel like if you are giving your brain a band-aid instead of dealing with the tough times, then pretty soon you start to really need that band-aid. And if my daughter listens to this ever, I love you with all of my heart and soul. But this is something to consider. I should also add a caveat here that I started with talking about criminal activity because I think that drug use and alcoholism tends to lean that way when you get into it heavily and you start taking different paths with your life and you get in trouble once and then you really have to take different paths. And I think it starts to lean that way. People can argue that. I've heard lots of arguments against that. But everything that I've witnessed tends to lean that way. My daughter being the exception, but she's still very young. My daughter is exceptional. I've told you she has a full ride scholarship. She's very smart. So I almost think that hers started as an act of proving me wrong or proving the system wrong or proving that she was stronger than that, because she is very strong-willed and her brain is strong and on point. So she is an exception to the criminal aspect of that, and how that ends up panning out with the physiological aspects, I have no idea. We'll just watch that. But I don't think that everybody's in that same suit. Had I started and been more heavily into it, had I not had the bad experiences I had early on, maybe I would be in the same boat as my neighbor kid. Guy, he's not a kid anymore. Maybe I would be, you know, there. Because it starts to seep into your psyche, and then that's kind of who you become. So, anyway, I think I'm out of time, and that's probably as far as this conversation will go or should go. Unless, of course, you guys want to provide feedback, I'm still open to camera recommendations. And I just wish you guys all the health. If you are struggling with drugs or addiction, or you know somebody that is, I just hope that you get help, and I hope that, you know, you're able to get the other person help. So, thank you for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.